It's a WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. On the first day of Sacrifice for Soto, we're asking John Middleton to sacrifice probably $750 million.
Not that big of a deal.
It's an investment. So we're all sacrificing and asking you to. Ike will eat a triple-decker mayonnaise sandwich. And
with cheese.
With cheese. Just to remind you, if you didn't know already, one of the things I've known Ike for a long time now, and one of the things that has stuck with me is his hatred of mayonnaise. He hates mayonnaise so much that if something on the sandwich looks like mayonnaise, like if it's a white cheese rather than a yellow cheese, he's like, no mayonnaise. So Jack will name his soon to be second son, Juan. I will get a Juan Soto tattoo, and we're asking you to participate as well.
Come on, people.
215-592-9494.
And if any more losers calling in and say, yeah, I don't want him anyway. Yeah. Get drunk tested. Yeah.
You know what it is? You can call, but we will get you to the other side. We will get you to the other side. Before we get back to the Juan Soto stuff, I was thinking about our show yesterday a little bit. And the show yesterday was basically about, do you think the Eagles have turned the corner? Are they Super Bowl contenders yet? Mm-hmm. And we're basically talking about this season. The thing that I want to ask about, and we talked about this a lot, I think, during training camp and the beginning of the season, was have you mentally turn the page on last season in that, I know we're not thinking about last season, but in thinking, okay, that's behind us. We don't have to worry about that anymore. What happened here with the team last year? Ike, are you in a place where the collapse last year, everything that happened is not something that you need to think about with this team at all?
Yeah. And I've been there, you know. I can remember arguing with Jack a little bit earlier in the year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe it was after the Falcons game. I know it was after one of the earlier games that they lost that, you know, he was still saying that he feels like last year was still lingering. And he wasn't the only one. There's plenty of people that felt like last year was still lingering around this team. And it was concern there that they could easily fall back into that. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that the signs were there, that there wasn't any lingering effects from last year. I'll just say that I wasn't getting the sense that that was the issue, and that was a real issue, that most of what happened last year had sort of been resolved, and everybody was pulling in the same direction. But winning also helps.
You sure?
Winning helps. And so I do believe, even as they sit here at 5-2, that they have moved past that last year. You know, I go back to that quote yesterday I read from Jalen, and that is telling to me. Now, we poke fun at him because he's okay, he's Jalen, he's back to pulling out quotes again, that sort of thing. But in a nutshell, what he's saying is, I learned from my mistakes from a year ago, in areas in where maybe I could have been better, I could have been different, and it might have helped that I didn't realize in that moment, that I later realized that I could have been of help. And so now I don't want to go back and make those same types of mistakes. So if, for instance, adversity arose, it was there.
It did. That's a great point.
And so they seemingly figured out a way to not let it spiral out of control. Stay on the same page, stay connected. We talked about a lot of connectivity from last year being disconnected. They seem to have stayed connected, and even if they use what we may determine as a false sort of narrative, which is us against the world, us against the media, us against the fans, that sort of thing, rally behind the coach, it's manufactured. But I'd rather them do that and pull together versus splinter apart.
Sure.
So I do feel like they're past that. To answer your question, I do feel like they're past that.
So obviously I can't know whether they are.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you it's still in the back of my mind. And here's why. People can change. I don't necessarily think that Kelce or Fletcher, I'm thinking about the players who aren't here anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't think my gut tells me Kelce and Fletcher Cox, probably not the source of discontent. They were there.
No, they probably held it together as best they could, as long as they could.
They were there. Reddick, I don't know, maybe.
Could have been.
But I think about it this way. It is like, And it's been a long time since I've had to deal with this because thankfully I've not had to deal with this with my in my current relationship. But you think about being cheated on, right?
Right.
And sometimes people stay together after they've been cheated on. Mm-hmm. And the time that it takes to actually have that be gone is a really long time.
Yeah.
You know, if ever, if it's not, you know, it will pop into your head. Well, wait a minute. Where the
hell especially for the person who was cheated on. Yes.
So I guess.
It never leaves.
I guess what I'm thinking with them is, well, all of the principles are in place. And I know that sounds unfair. You know, Jalen's still there. Nick's still there. You know, a good portion of the roster's probably 75% the same as last year, whatever mm-hmm. it is. So I guess. In my head, until I don't feel it anymore, I will think to myself, if they lose a couple games in a row, I know what's going to pop into my head is going to be, oh, here we go again. And I did think it already. And I did say, hey, sure. Look, the Giants game's a big deal. The Bengals game's a big deal. All the things you said are true. They did react in a different way this year than they did last year. But I guess until the lingering thing in the back of my head is still there. It's still there. Is that if it happened once, it can happen again. And credit to them for reacting the way that they
can
did this
happen.
Year.
It can happen on any team. Like any team.
That's absolutely
like,
true.
Yeah, it certainly can happen. But I think if your leaders have matured, because here's the thing that I'll say. You use the example of someone being cheated on. That is an act that you can point directly to that happened, that's undeniable.
Right.
Sometimes there's friction there and you don't know where the friction really originates from. Somebody got mad about this.
Right.
You know, you coached them too hard or this and the other. Whereas one side may be upset and the other side don't even know, like, what are you mad about? Like,
right.
Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
So I don't know if last year had more to do with some of that versus a real sort of infraction or something being committed towards someone that they have to get over. Like, in other words, for example, a player wasn't put on a trading block.
Right.
You didn't trade him, and now he's still here, and you got to make him feel like you never wanted to trade him.
It's more like a rough patch than a cheated on.
Yeah.
It's more like we had a couple of months there where we just weren't vibing.
You left the toilet seat up. I didn't know. Like something. You didn't take the trash out. Like, enough things. Honestly, that's what it is. Enough things piled up that it became a big thing, and then you couldn't get out of it.
Sure.
So, I think if the two main leaders there, because that's where it starts at.
Nick and Jalen.
Yes, of course. If that's working okay, I think everybody else will be fine. Everybody else is manageable. They aren't significant enough. You know, maybe an AJ is. There's only a certain few players that is significant enough that it can derail a team. It's usually the main guys that when something happens with the quarterback or the head coach or the star player on the team, when he's not, like a T.O., for example. Like, if the star player isn't happy, then that can derail the team.
Well, and that, by the way, all of that goes back to why it was important for the Jalen's, you know, his words publicly about Nick were important.
I mean, whether he was doing it intentionally or not, or he was being naive, his lack of public endorsement created more issues there that didn't need to be there.
Right.
It created a tension there that didn't need to be there.
Jack, are you clean slate from last year yet? Are you?
No, because honestly, I need to see what happens when they eventually lose again. I think they're in a good spot. They're going to lose again.
I know they're going to lose again. Exactly. That's what I'm pointing. Like, what do you mean? They're going to lose again.
But I want to see how they react after they lose because they're in a good spot right now and things are going well. But there's still a part of me that if this doesn't go like great for a little bit here, can they pull themselves back out of it? Is the right leadership in place? I hope it is.
Let me ask you this. See, this is why I always say it's unfair. No one questions the leadership with the Phillies.
Well.
No one questions in-house, clubhouse. No, I'm just talking about they've lost. They didn't show up in big moments. Like, no one's saying, is there an issue in the clubhouse? or blaming. My only point is that you can lose games without there being
yes.
some sort of internal issues in there just because you don't play well.
No, I think what he's saying is will the losing spark the internal issues, not are the internal issues sparking the losing? I think that's what you're saying, right? Is
mostly
is how they will handle the losing as opposed
they've
to...
They've already showed you that this year.
Yeah, well,
can it be any worse than it was the first year? They want the coach fired
yes.
after 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about?
But they're getting a bump out of that now.
All I'm saying is they didn't spiral out of control and start. If it was going to happen, that's when it was going
to
happen.
It certainly had an opportunity
to. Yeah, early in the season when you don't have wins in your bank to sort of lean on. Like, if it was going to happen, that's when it was going
to
happen.
Well, and to giving Jalen credit also for publicly, Nick has also shifted his tone publicly as well. You know, I give him credit as well. They've both, I think, come a long way.
Yeah.
In doing what.
But Nick's never had a problem.
No, internally.
Jalen.
Yeah. No, but I think knowing what Jalen's hot buttons are, and I think Nick fighting with the fans is probably one of those things that he isn't thrilled with or whatever. It, not the kind of stuff that he loves.
Well, Jalen's not in Nick's position of being basically neutered and saying you don't mean anything to the team.
Yes,
and
yes.
So that's a different battle to me that Nick is battling. Nick is battling for his standing within the organization to be respected as a head coach.
Sure. I think they've both evolved in positive ways to come closer to what works for everyone. I think they've both evolved in that way.
Yes. All right,
215-592.
I just think the quarterback needed to do the majority of it.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
I'm perfectly fine with saying that.
I'm glad you're saying it.
Yeah, yes. I've said it. Yes. He needed to do it the most.
Right. 215-592-9494. What will you sacrifice for Juan Soto? The movement begins today. Sacrifice for Soto. Ann and Glenn Mills, you're on WIP.
Hey, Spike.
Ann?
Ann?
Oh.
Ann?
Yeah. I'm sorry.
It's all right.
Okay. So I really believed that my sacrifice was the biggest sacrifice any human being could make.
Ooh.
And until I heard the guy who would give up his son. So,
well, we baited him into it.
By the way,
he gave it up very quickly.
Very quickly. That kid must be a pain in the ass.
At only 19, there's a lot of growth there.
Yeah. Well, you have the physical signs already of what he's
going to
be.
Well, yeah. He's not going to be a stud in the league. Yeah, you know, yeah. But.
Right. So this is the second biggest sacrifice.
Okay, what's yours?
Mine is I called in at the trade deadline and I talked to you and said, you make me throw up in my mouth every time you talked about Pete Alonso and the Phillies.
Okay, sorry.
So my sacrifice is that I will tweet a picture of Pete Alonso inside a heart with floating bubbles for 30 days straight, hopefully showing him in his new Chicago White Sox uniform because that's the only team that's going to take him. And I'll do that for the first 30 days of the season. If we get Soto, that's my sacrifice.
You really hate Pete Alonso.
Oh, I just
my girl, like Ann. My girl. He is the worst.
Hold on, he might be a Philly.
Yeah, how about if we miss out on Soto?
No.
Oh, God.
I'll sacrifice myself off this show.
We move Bryce to left field.
Easy there, easy.
Sacrifice myself, you know.
I would have to move away. I would have to move.
Well, he did a lot more during the playoffs than some of our guys.
Uh-oh.
I'm calling it like I see it.
I know.
Yeah.
That's mine.
All right, okay. Ann. We'll take it. That's a good one. It's not giving. Do you want to give up a child? We're giving you the opportunity.
Thank God. No, I don't have any children to give up. So
okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Are the kids around here safe?
Yeah. No. Not for Juan Soto.
Parent is ready to give them up.
Number one in on base percentage, I think, or number two. I think he was 2-2 Judge this year in on base percentage. He's 2 or 3. 215-592-9494. Now, our next caller has some inside information in that Tyree from North Philly was on the golf course that Jeff Lurie, Saquon Barkley, Jalen Hurts, and Obama were playing at yesterday. You were there?
Yes, sir. I was right behind him. I was in the group right behind.
Were you playing? Or
yes, Spike, he was playing.
No, he wasn't. That's why I asked.
What are you doing out there?
He was the caddy.
Oh, you were
caddy. I'm
just trying to lead him there.
My bad. Yeah, I'm like.
You're
what?
Like, why can't he be playing golf? I'm just. You know, that's Jack's thing,
no,
not me.
Right. No, yeah. You're right.
Why is it my thing?
Well, you know. All right. So,
hold on. Can we ask where they were?
Say it again.
Can we ask where they were? Like, where were they playing it?
Oh, they're at Marion.
Okay.
Ah, of course it was Marion.
There you go.
Jeffrey's a new member.
Jeff got it. held down over there.
Well, do you? So, did you? Can Jalen play? Can you give us any inside info on their golf game?
Yeah, who looked? Yeah, who had the best swing? Who had the worst swing?
Yeah.
So Jalen didn't play. Jalen
told you.
He just walked around.
Yeah. Oh, he's not a golfer.
Did he putt for Saquon? Did he putt for Saquon?
Nah, Jalen was just there just to be in the group, just to be around to pretty much talk to Barack.
I'll tell you, Tyree, because Ike and Jack play golf. Mm-hmm. The thing that I can't play golf because of my back, but the thing that I would like to do with golf is it just seems like a nice afternoon. So I was thinking if we ever do a golf tournament, I was like, I'll just walk it with everybody, hang out.
It's
so relaxing.
And yeah. Believe me, Spike, the majority of us can't play.
Right, but I can't play at all. I'm not even swinging the club. So it would, now Saquon seems like he can play a little bit.
Yeah, Saquon can play a little bit. He was struggling getting off the tee a little bit yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw that swing. I saw that form. That looked like me.
Yeah. Looks like he's swinging down, like trying to hit a line drive. That's not.
But I can say his second shot, see, I've seen him hit a lot of his second shots after he couldn't get off the tee, that iron into the green. Oh, okay. He has some good ones.
And what about Obama? Now, presidents play a lot of golf.
Oh, yeah, that dude. You know he was a golfer. Yeah, he was probably the best in the group.
Obama was the best in the group.
Yeah, I was going to say he probably was the best in the group.
And he's tall and thin. He's got a good body, right?
And he's playing a lot of it.
Yes.
You said it most. He's playing a lot of golf. Yes, he plays a lot of golf.
I got to walk up and introduce myself. He shook my hand. It was a legendary day.
Oh,
that had to be pretty cool, man. Yeah.
And Obama all in one. Man,
now, great. How are we getting Fritz and Reese? I mean, come on.
Hey, my boy Deion caddy for Ike at the Eagles outing.
Oh, he did? Okay. Uh-huh. Okay, yeah. Yeah, hope to be back out there next year.
Any reports on Ike's game? From?
Oh, hell, I could tell you, I could tell you, yeah. I was whacking that thing.
All right, Tyree, we appreciate you checking in, man.
Yeah, it was a pleasure talking to you, boys.
All right, brother.
All right, Tyree. Yeah, Marion, there are no golf carts, so it has to be a caddy. You have to walk.
I want to walk.
Yep, yes, you would. Nice. Yes, yeah. You're a walker, yep, so you wouldn't have a problem with that.
How long does it take to walk a four, are you talking 5-6 hours, something like that?
Four and a half.
Okay.
I mean, if you're a good golfer, it's probably going to take 4 hours. No more than four and a half. If we're shanking the ball all over the place, we could probably be out there for 5 hours.
And here's my take on golf and the carts and walking it. If you're one of those people that wants to consider golf a sport, you have to walk.
Well, that's when you realize that it is a sport. That's when you realize that they're athletes.
Yeah, you can't be riding around like a child on a Hot Wheels or whatever. It's not Hot Wheels.
They always talk about that Augusta's a hard walk. That's why Tiger was struggling the last couple of years.
A lot of up and down hills.
Tough walk. Tough walk.
Yeah. That's a pretty good foursome, man. I shouldn't have known.
Of course Jalen wasn't playing.
Yeah.
He's not a golfer, but at least he came out there to hang out.
Yeah. Twist my arm. Obama's there? All right, I'll be there.
Give him credit. Yes. He went out.
Yes. And believe me, just walking around on the golf course and you're not playing.
It's pretty boring.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, yeah. I would love a recording of that entire conversation.
See, we should have did a side question on your foursome.
Yes. Well,
who's in our foursome, Jack?
That could go the wrong way.
Yeah, that's my
I got Fritzy in my foursome.
Yeah, oh, really? Let's go.
Please clip that.
Oh, stop, man.
Come on, Spike. Grow up a little bit.
Oh, me.
Yeah.
Me.
Your go-to foursome?
Yeah. What would your go-to foursome be?
Well, Bryce, obviously.
Does he play golf?
I don't think so.
He doesn't?
I don't think so.
I think all baseball players play golf.
Nah, like Schwarber golf. I think JT's the best golfer.
I bet you Schwarber hits the golf ball a 350
mile.
Yeah. Yes.
There's no short game with Schwartz, though.
Yes.
No short game.
He's a driver and a pitching wedge or a sand wedge every green.
Tiger's in our foursome.
Gotta have Tiger in our
foursome. I got to play Tiger once.
I think Tiger and...
So you have Jack. You have one more spot.
Steph?
Yeah, Steph's good.
Steph Curry?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mike plays. MJ.
Oh, I'd much rather hang out with Michael Jordan for... Now you have to go in with a pocket full of cash.
Oh, we lighten it up, man. Yeah, that's going to cost us money.
You're going to be betting that entire time.
Yeah, the damn show ain't letting you just play for free.
You know who you might rather have than Jordan is Charles. Because Charles is a bad golfer and also
definitely
bets.
Would rather have Charles than Mike.
Yes.
Without question.
Yeah, because you know Jordan would take it way too seriously.
Yeah, he's going to ruin the jet. He's going to ruin the old
throwing clubs.
Well, yeah. No, I think now my dad has played with Barkley a lot. Yeah. I think Barkley has thrown clubs before as well.
Listen, we've all thrown clubs.
Okay.
Yes.
All
yeah.
Right. Something like, you know, taking the joy out of it.
Yeah. Yes, but yeah.
There's nothing wrong with a good
club. Sometimes you get frustrated out there on that golf course.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
I was a senior and I was playing in the playoffs for golf,
yeah,
snapped my driver on the second hole.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like Bo Jackson on your knee?
No, it wasn't like that. I'm surprised it snapped.
I hit it on the ground like that?
Yeah.
I'm good to do one of those. I know I'm going to snap my club here one of these days.
So you're supposed to get disqualified if you break a club, the PIAA rules.
Yeah.
So I had to fake prop it up so no one could see me. With a driver in my bag, bro.
We've seen Jack Mad.
Oh, really?
We're doing the Phillies games.
Oh, yeah.
So that's him on the golf course too now.
Last thing, and then we'll get back to the sacrifice for Soto. The maddest I've ever seen Jack during a baseball game, and I had the opportunity now. The two games at Citi Field, and I was with him for game two at Citizens Bank Park.
Opportunity is an interesting word here.
Yeah, well, the time I had to calm him down for screaming curse words around children, that was a moment, but I've had to do that before. Jack, during Jeff Hoffman's inning, the second inning he pitched at Citi Field, and he walked a guy. Jack screaming into his hat and biting his shirt or something.
Yep.
You're as mad as I've ever seen a human being.
Yeah. I don't really get mad often.
Yeah.
You were
pretty laid back.
You were mad.
Oh, no, you never did. Golf, I've seen him mad on the golf course.
Yeah.
Driving. And Phillies games.
Oh my God, I was worried for you a little bit actually.
That's my goal. That's my brand.
I was thinking to myself, we're not supposed to be standing here. We have press credentials on,
right.
And I got this lunatic screaming
He's
into
get
his hat.
Out of here.
Yes, we're gonna have to go stand with the Mets fans. All right, 215-592-9494. What will you sacrifice for Juan Soto? Like, guys. I think the most popular new segment on the show is coming up with Broads, Flyers and 50. I can't wait to find out how Michkov is doing according to Broads. Of course, I can look at the stats and see the game, but Broads really knows what he's talking about and see if Broads can fit this all into 46 seconds. Is that where we are, Jack? 46 seconds?
Yes.
All right, that's coming up next on the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Yes. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. What you hear is the Russian national anthem because it is time for the official Flyers show in Philadelphia, the WIP Afternoon Show, to do Flyers in 50 with Broads. Broads, how are we feeling, sir?
Well, it was a big win up in Boston last night. Are you kidding me? At the Garden?
I heard.
What's up, baby?
I heard.
That's right.
So when we have Broads on for Flyers in 50, we started the season with 50 seconds. If the Flyers win, he gets two more seconds. If they lose, he loses 2 seconds. By our count, it is 2-1. They are 2-1 since the last time we did this. You had 44 seconds at the time, so you would be up to 46 seconds.
Wow. Now, I got a question for you, Spike.
Yeah.
Have you heard the evolution of this segment yet? Did Rod ever throw anything your way?
No, why?
Okay, well, ooh, you know, there's a little rumbling on the streets that you're lucky that they're stringing a few together because the boss and I discussed if there's not enough seconds for our liking, you are going to have to join me at 2 a.m. in studio for a Flyers Minute.
Oh, how about that?
Like this. I like how the tables have turned.
Let me tell you something, Broads.
What?
You are not my program director. I'll have that conversation with Rod. Like
we sat down together, and that's the plan we came up with.
Look, bro, I did my time after midnight here at WIP. I did my time.
Well, barely. What, did you do for 2 years?
Yes.
That's a long time.
It's enough time.
A decade ago?
It's enough time.
We'll talk tomorrow, Spike.
All right. Well, so here we go. Flyers in 50 with Broads starts now.
Flyers in 50 with Hunter Brody.
Now, since I'm a people pleaser, I will strictly look at Matvei Michkov through 10 games. This kid is so legit, all right? He's top of the league in scoring for rookies. 9 points in 10 games. And we're not talking some secondary assist that nobody cares about. 4 bingos, 5 apples, and he plays with piss and vinegar. He's getting in the corners. He's getting in the face of people. He's got tremendous passing, and he can score from everywhere, from the top of the blue line, posting in, when he's on the power play off to the side. It's ridiculous, and he's as promised. He really is. We're getting what we deserve. When they all gave us the words about how phenomenal he'd be, we're getting what we were promised, and it puts a big smile.
Ooh, that's, wow. That's 46 seconds, bro.
Pretty good time. Pretty good timing out there.
Not bad.
I was.
You just starting to cook, man. You're starting to cook.
Yeah, it always leaves me wanting more.
That's
man.
Good.
Well, yeah.
Preferably, we can get more. I'm just spitballing here. Preferably, we can actually we can do that.
They've sucked to begin the season, and they're letting everyone down. So maybe the Flyers should start winning some games.
Timeout. Let's pay attention. They've won 2 out of their last 3, and they beat Minnesota in a matinee at the Barn Saturday afternoon.
There you go.
Put down over there, Juan Soto. Soto sacrificer.
Okay. No, I'm going to shave your head.
Yeah. A good thing and bad thing here with Broads. The good thing is he concentrated on Michkov, which is what we want to hear about in Flyers and 50. The bad thing is the first one that you did, you started talking about that other guy.
He got sent down. Jet Luchenko.
Yeah. All you wanted to talk about was Jet Luchenko, and he got sent down. How can we rely on you for Flyer stuff if you want to brag about this guy that isn't even on the Flyers anymore a week later?
Well, time out. The reason he's not here is because the team has been struggling so much that Torts didn't want to put a lot of pressure on the 18.
Sorry, bad news.
Wow. First time receiving that music. Yeah. I always hear it from the other side, and it's funny, but right now I'm a little pissed off.
Yeah.
Come on, man. He's hitting him with that.
I got to tell you, bro, it's like I got nothing to do with this, man. And I know. I'm trying to fight the good fight for you on this side of it, but I'm outnumbered.
You are.
I love the Flyers talk.
Ike loves Flyers and 50.
I do, man.
I know. Didn't you have a hockey segment, Ike?
I did. Hockey in the Hood.
All right, maybe we can tie this together and have a podcast.
Like that, we can get you.
Flyers and 50 podcast, 50-second podcast.
That's not like very long. I mean, Ike hasn't talked about how everyone has a podcast here besides him, so it's about time.
I am the only one here without a podcast.
You want to do a podcast?
No, I don't.
Okay,
no,
there we go.
Good. I'm good.
All right, Broads. We appreciate
Thanks, brother.
There he is. Hunter Brody.
Good, man. It's good stuff.
Yeah. I'm so in on Flyers and 50.
Yeah, it's a good one.
I said, as soon as he starts going, that's when you hit the buzzer.
No,
man.
I know. It's a shame.
Yeah. As soon as he starts cooking.
Yeah.
You can hear how disappointed he is when it's over. And then he tries to sneak in more hockey talk in the conversation.
Jet Luchenko?
Yeah.
Come on.
The guy spent half the time on his first one talking about Jet Luchenko. He's not even on the team. He got sent down to the minors. 215-592-9494. It is the start of sacrifice for Soto. We need John Middleton to write that check. We don't want to hear that he won't leave New York. He will go to whoever pays him the most, and let's make it Philadelphia. If John Middleton is going to sacrifice the money, we are going to sacrifice as well. Jack will name his second child Juan. I will get a Juan Soto tattoo. Ike will eat a triple-decker mayonnaise sandwich, which might be the biggest sacrifice of the three of us, because I like tattoos. Jack is looking forward to his son. Ike will not be looking forward to the mayonnaise sandwich. So we want to know what you will sacrifice. It takes a village, as Jack said. 215-592-9494. Terrence in Springfield, you're on WIP.
Ike, Spike, Fritz, what's up, man?
What's up?
What up, Terrence?
My biggest sacrifice, man, I told Jack, is I'll give up sex for a year, man.
Well, how the hell are we supposed to know you're going without sex?
And how are we supposed to know you'd get it anyway?
Yeah, I'll keep a tab, you know. I'll put my girl on there, man. Keep take notes. Have a little diary. You know what I mean? We'll keep notes.
Terrence, but, I want to be there when you have that conversation with her.
we got to compromise, man. It's for Soto, man. It's for Juan Soto.
Yes.
This team needs Soto. I feel like it's something we're missing in the lineup. We're missing that. We haven't had that swagger in a while in the Phillies lineup.
Yes.
I know we got Bryce, we got the team, the morale and all that. But something about Soto, man, I think the round before last round, before they clinched, he was talking trash to the pitcher, and he hit the home run right after he's talking trash. Like, that's swagger. That's like Kobe Bryant, Jordan-esque talking swag. So we got to get on board and bring Soto over here, man. I don't care what we got to do. To me, he's 26 years old. This kid is young. And right now, I hope the Yankees lose tonight. Because if they win, you know what I'm thinking about staying if they come back. And you know, complete the comeback. We want the Yankees to lose so he can win out of there.
Look, here's the swagger part is great. I want you to think about the lineup. All of a sudden, let's think about for a second moving Schwarber out of the leadoff spot because now we have people who can drive in behind him. Here's what I want you to think about. Think about the beginning of the lineup being Trey Turner, Bryce Harper with Juan Soto hitting behind him. It's Trey Turner, Bryce Harper, Juan Soto, Kyle Schwarber. That is a scary section of the lineup.
Yeah.
But Spike, also, that would be no excuse. If we don't get it done, if we get Soto, we don't get it done. There's no excuse. And for all the idiots saying not to get Soto, like, get a life. Come on, man. Soto.
Fuck, yeah. Terrence, I mean, you're going to get lefties back-to-back and him and Harper? That can't happen.
Oh, do you not want Harper hitting second?
I've gotten some texts and tweets like, well, who's going to – you can't have lefties hitting back-to-back, so I got to instruct the lineup.
You know what?
Are you kidding me?
Are we sure we can't do that? Is it against the rules?
They did win a World Series with Utley and Howard batting back-to-back. Yeah. But regardless, they combined at a 9.15 OPS against lefties last year.
Yeah, if the lefties are Juan Soto and Bryce Harper, you can have them hitting back-to-back. It could be fine.
Yeah, we ain't worried about that, man. Let them bet however they want to bet. Because they're gonna produce. They're going to produce some runs, baby.
Absolutely. All right, Terrence.
I think Jalen is on the way back. You got to keep it going for me to believe it, though. I'm going to see some more weeks of that.
That we'd all like to see some more weeks of what we saw, Terrence. Yeah, I mean, certainly right trajectory for Jalen. Thank you for the call. Terrence giving up sex for a year. And for some now,
well, again, I got to know the frequency he's at now.
Yeah, that's the big question.
Like, how much of a sacrifice
is he
this?
Going from two to nothing? That's not that big a sacrifice. We got to know.
Well, he said his girl, so I'm imagining.
Yeah, he's dating
someone. How long has he been with the girl?
That's a good question. Yeah, you know.
Just being honest. Yeah, just calling him like I see him.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, if it's time for a new car, which I think it probably is, because that old banged up car needs to be replaced, Colonial Hyundai of Downingtown is the place to go. Here we are, October, Halloween, spooky season. Ghost your ride with Colonial Hyundai. John Ashdale, the car czar, his staff at Colonial, they're sitting there. And on their lot, they've got over 200 2024 Hyundais. And they all got to get off the lot. They're Santa Fe's and Tucson's and Kona's, all of them. They want to help you get into one of them, helping you with 0% financing for 60 months, also going to give you more for that old banged up car, that piece of crap, than anybody else is going to give you. They're consistently recognized for giving more for trade-ins than anyone in the region. They're going to guarantee you $6,500 for your trade, no matter what condition it's in. And every new Hyundai from Colonial comes with Hyundai Assurance and America's Best Warranty, a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Stay away from the ghouls. Ghost your ride with Colonial Hyundai of Downingtown. Online 24/7 at colonialhyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai, the faster, easier, better way to buy a Hyundai. See dealer for full details. Before we get back to sacrifice for Soto, coming up at 4, Brian Baldinger will join us. Now, we know Baldy is not only a filmsman, but is plugged in. And we have to ask him about this. I want to read you a tweet, Ike, that Baldy sent today. Mm-hmm. So Baldy sent a tweet about the Eagles' use of play action. He says, the Eagles' use of play action passes has really helped the rhythm and timing of his throws. The receivers love it, and the offensive line are thankful for it. Somebody asked Baldy, any idea why it took them 8 weeks to do this? Baldy replies, a few guys were tired of the offense and spoke up. Now, by the way, I think that's a positive thing, a positive thing that players feel comfortable enough to say, assuming it's players, he says a few guys, comfortable enough to say, hey, this is not working. We should try this. Mm-hmm. But I'm curious from Baldy's perspective, you know, what gave them that comfort to speak up? Maybe we can ascertain from what he says who it might have been, like, you know, whether offensive guys, maybe it was coach. I don't know who it was, but I think it's good insight that that
definitely
happened.
Was veteran players on the offensive side of the ball.
You would think so.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And you would think it's not like receivers want them to run the ball more.
No, but the play action pass thing
has helped them.
Yeah.
Yes.
But yeah.
It'd just be interesting to ask him about. Yeah, and I know he's not going to tell us, hey, it was X, it was Y, but I think the perspective on it. So that'll come up at 4 o'clock. We'll talk to Baldy then.
It's hats off to whoever those guys were.
Yes, thank you. We Philadelphia,
yeah,
thanks
yeah, we
you.
We appreciate that, yeah.
215-592-9494. What would you sacrifice for Soto? Chris in Wilmington. You're on WIP. What's up, Chris?
Hey, I'd like to make a little sacrificial waiver on where he lands between the Mets and the Phillies.
Oh, I don't want to bet on. Are you a Met fan?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't want to bet on it with you.
Why not? You got to have faith in your owner putting up the bucks.
Well, here's what I'd ask you, Chris. Where are all the big free agents, desirable free agents that have flocked to the Mets? Because I can name the Phillies free agents, right? I can say Bryce Harper. I can say Trey Turner. I can say Zach Wheeler. So where are all the big successes since Steve Cohen took over for Mets free agents?
Well, we had the terrible with the Verlander that year.
Yeah, it didn't work.
Last year.
Yeah, it didn't work.
This year is supposed to go after Corbin Barnes.
Supposed to.
So does the big fish.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I read that Cole might opt out of his contract. He's got the player option. And they might go after him.
Can I tell you, Juan Soto wants to be a big fish in a big pond. Playing for the Mets is big fish in a little pond stuff.
Nah.
You from New York?
No.
Okay. Been around there? Spent some time there? You know the place everybody wants to play in New York is in the Bronx. It's not in Flushing. Come on.
Yeah. I think they're trying to change that, the narrative a little bit.
Because
the owner they had before, Will Pond, they were horrible.
They were horrible, but I'm happy that you have an owner that will spend. But I just think the there's a lot of Mets confidence that they're going to sign Soto, and I'm just not quite as confident. Now, I know Cohen will spend and spend and spend and spend, but I think our owner in Philadelphia is just as passionate, if not more, and I say this as a compliment, almost seems psychotic about wanting to win a World Series. And if I'm Juan Soto, I can look at this lineup. You know, the Mets are a half-finished team. The Phillies are not. The Phillies need to add one or two big things to become, the second best record in the National League last year. Yeah, and I just like the Mets were a cute story this year, but I wouldn't be so confident.
I think they win the division next year with Soto.
Nah, well, they're not going to have Soto. He's going to be on the Phillies. All right, Chris.
All right.
All right.
All right, Chris.
There's just a lot of bluster from Mets fans about Steve Cohen, about the big free agents he'll sign. And I just like, where? Tell me the big free agents are going to the Mets. I don't see it there.
Well, the last time they tried to do all that, they sucked. And they had to trade all of them at the deadline.
And pay for them to play somewhere else.
Yeah. So. By the way, the Wilpons sucked, but it went further with the Wilpons than they did with Steve Cohen.
That's a good point.
They went to the World
well.
Series in 2015.
Good point.
Thank you. Just
good
making cases.
John in Delco has a golf story about Howard and Charles Barkley. John, you're on WIP.
Ooh, boy.
Hey, Spike. How you doing?
What's up, John?
So a long time ago, maybe like 20, 25 years ago, I caddied for your dad and Charles Barkley at a local club, a good club. I don't know if I should say the name of the club.
That was 20 years ago. I think you're safe.
Overbrook Golf Club, Bryn Mawr. So,
okay.
Everything was good till like the 13th hole, and they were obviously gambling, playing a match, and Charles had like a 3-foot putt, and Howard had like a 2-foot putt. And I don't know if you know golf etiquette, but if you give somebody a putt and you're inside them, generally they're going to be like, yeah, you can just pick it up. So your dad gives Charles the 3-footer. So Charles picks it up, and your dad walks over and just assumes Charles is going to give him the putt, and he picks up his ball. So Charles turns to him and says, I didn't give you that bleeping putt. So now your dad's lost the hole, right? So he's got steam, coming out his ears. So we get to the next tee, and I don't know how he got himself together his tee shot, but it's like a blind tee shot on 14. It's a narrow green with out of bounds back and water up front. Charles hits on, your dad chunks it in the water, and clubs start flying. And I've caddied for a long, long time. I think maybe I've seen like one or two other guys throw golf clubs.
Yeah.
And one of them was Howard Eskin.
Yeah. Him throwing golf clubs is not a surprise at all. So when you're saying, I don't play golf. When you're saying pick up the putt, are you just saying he gives it to him and says,
yeah.
Basically.
Yeah, he's basically saying you made it.
Yeah, like Ike knows, yeah.
Call him
like,
gimmies.
It's an etiquette thing. You say, yeah, good. Like, am I good? Yeah, okay, you're good, because he was a shorter putt.
First of all, it's funny that Charles didn't give Howard his.
Well, which also leads me to believe they may have been out there with a little something on the line.
Yes.
For sure. Oh, yeah. I don't know how much it was.
Usually when something is on the line, they make you putt it out. Yeah. By the way, those are the worst guys to play behind.
The guys who are betting.
Oh, they stand over every putt for 5 minutes, it seems like. And you're like, man, just give him the putt and move on to the next hole. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think they said a word to each other the rest of the round.
Two horrible golfers moping at each other, betting on golf. Now,
I've seen Charles' latest swing. It's gotten better.
Oh, has it?
He doesn't have the hitch anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's gotten rid of it.
He had an ugly hitch.
Oh, yeah. He had a terrible. I think he hit somebody at one of these tournaments and it messed with his head
for
years. So I think that's what he said for years.
And is he thin now? Did Charles lose a bunch of weight?
Thin?
Well, has he lost weight?
Okay. Yes.
Not thin.
Yeah, right. Well, he's thin.
I just wonder if that helps. I wonder if it helps
being
slender. Yeah. John,
he's a big man.
John, you still caddy or no?
No, I play now. I don't caddy now.
I don't know about you guys giving each other putts and stuff. I would never. I'd be a terrible guy.
But it's a classy game.
It's a gentleman's game.
Yes. Oh, these sound like gentlemen. And anyone who's listened to this show can confirm you two have very limited gentleman capabilities.
Taking everybody to pound town, baby. Pick it up, Fritzy.
Yeah, that's right. And plus, trying to help the other guy out. You know,
he play with someone who doesn't give you putts. It's a long
That's a tough. That's a long day, man.
Well, strategically. By the way, strategically, Ike giving Jack the putts is actually good strategy because Jack's a better golfer, so that means Ike gets the putts as well.
Exactly.
It's a good strategy. Yeah.
That's true.
Wish they had that in high school.
Yeah. All right, John. Appreciate the story.
All right, fellas. Take it easy.
Not a shock that Howard had a temper tantrum on the golf course. Not a shock at all.
I played behind the king this year at Merrill's golf tournament.
Bit of a slow-moving group.
I was yelling at him the whole time, too.
You know, it's RJ.
Is he good? Is he a good golfer?
Yeah, I mean,
for an old
he's a little
person,
older now, so he doesn't hit the ball as far. But, but yeah, he certainly has played the game. You can tell he's played.
Well, there is nothing worse.
When I said, I'm like, dude, you're hitting the ball 50 yards at a time, man. Come on.
There is nothing worse than the old guy that just hits it 100 yards straight down the middle. Meanwhile, like, we're trying to really play golf.
I'm trying to kill it, and I'm 250 to the right.
Jack, would you beat Howard in a round of golf?
Yes.
I would hope so, yeah.
Yeah.
I only play like twice a year now, though.
Do you think he thinks you would beat him?
I think he thinks he would beat me, yeah.
Hmm.
Now, is he playing from the – which tees is he playing from?
That's a good question.
Because I'm a tipsman.
A tipsman.
Yeah.
Well, playing from the furthest tee. Oh.
And isn't the one in front the – is it women, children?
Yes.
Like people who don't hit the ball
as far.
The ladies tee, the senior tee.
You got the gold tees. Yeah, the senior tees.
So he's on the senior tee.
Oh.
I don't know if he hit from the senior tees. I don't know that.
Dude, you're going to get a text message, Jack. I promise you, you're getting a text message.
Might be playing from the white tees. I don't know.
You're going to get a text message, man. You're going to get a text message. All right, we will talk to Baldy about the Eagles players who suggested
who wanted to run the ball.
Yeah, who was said, "Hey guys, are you watching this?" You know, we'll talk to Baldy next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.